I've titled the brief message that I have tonight, His Indwelling Presence. Because even as we are in this month of celebrating Christmas, there are so many things and so many ways that we can celebrate it. But I'm sure you will agree with me that nothing outside of His presence will be meaningful. So we want to stay within the boundaries of the presence of the Lord, so that in whatever form we will be celebrating, it is according to the plan of God. So His indwelling presence. This is what 1 John 3:8 says in the Passion Translation, just the B part of it. It says, the reason the Son of God was revealed was to undo and destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8, part B. The reason the Son of God was revealed was to undo and destroy the works of the devil. So we are seeing here that really Jesus was born for the sole purpose of restoring us to intimacy with God. That's the whole reason He was born. I know we celebrate Christmas in, like I said, so many other ways. But the key reason that we celebrate in Christmas is we are celebrating our victory. Celebrating Christmas is celebrating our victory. I know, of course, we say it's Jesus' birthday. But I can almost guarantee you we don't know Jesus' birthday. If you read the Bible, it says before the beginning he was. So you try to point out his birthday. This whole deal about the birthday is just for our sake, because he had to come in the form of man so that he can redeem us from the curse of the sin. So therefore, our utmost pursuit must be to live in his presence. That's what we seek after. In Genesis 1:26, we don't need to go there. It talks about, you all know, it talks about God's plan for us. It says, he made us in his image and his likeness. God, when he created the heavens and the earth, it says that he was speaking to Jesus and the Holy Spirit and said, let us make man in our own image and our likeness. So that means his plan for man was to dwell in his presence permanently. Because whatever image you're created in, you are inseparable, isn't it? You see how we look at, sorry, I keep talking about Bethel. Bethel, when she grows up, she will ask, why does did Elder Ruth keep talking about me? Because you're near. So when we say Bethel is like a copycat of her father, it's because it's difficult to separate. That DNA is in her, isn't it? It's the same thing with our God. His DNA is in us. We were created in his image. So if we are created in him, then we are to dwell in his presence. Because you can't be in, but you are not off. You understand? So why the enemy was so intentional on bringing sin is because that was the only way he could separate us from the presence of the Lord. And we know by the mercies of God that when Jesus came, he restored us back to God. And now we have unlimited access at our disposal to the presence of the Lord. The separation has been dealt with at the cross. When Jesus said it is finished, every work of separation by the curse was finished, so that now we can access God's presence at our disposal. How? Through the Holy Spirit who indwells us. But I would like to say, even though God's presence is at our disposal, we are responsible for making good of it. It is available, but it is not put on you by force. You have to seek after it. If we don't seek it, we won't experience it. And therefore, the presence of the Lord is developed by how we are committed to the ways of our Maker, because we have his DNA. So I'm correct if I would say that what you don't pursue, even though it's available, you will miss out on the benefit attached to it. It's available, but if you're not pursuing it, you will not be able to experience the benefit that is attached to that. And I like giving this example a lot about me and the hiking group. You know, the famous hiking group and the Maradonas. Are there benefits in those physical exercises? A lot. The scripture says physical exercise profiteth, a little exercise profiteth a little. Yeah, physical exercise profiteth a little, but godliness profiteth more. So even though they do get the benefit, I prefer to seek. I'm not saying they don't seek, but I'm just saying that and please understand me, I'm not a lazy person. You understand? But I choose. I whatever benefits come with hiking and marathon running, I don't want. It's a choice. I'm trying to qualify that if you want his presence is available, but if you don't seek it, you will not be able to enjoy the benefit that comes with it. However, I like cooking. Seriously, I can spend a whole day in the kitchen cooking. And I think I've developed my culinary skills a lot. Because why? I practice it. So it's very rarely you will see me enter a cafe, a restaurant, almost never, unless I'm with somebody. Because I like my food. Because I know how I cook it, and I know it tastes good. I don't care whether if you taste my food, you think it doesn't taste good. Me, I know it tastes good. So I prefer always to eat at home. But you see, how did I get there? I got interested. I put time and effort. I paid attention. Unfortunately, I'm not your structured chef. I'm not a chef, so I don't bother a lot with the measurements. But I come out with something that sometimes when I want to cook it again, I can't fully remember. Because I do a lot of experiment in the kitchen. And they come out good. So even when I don't remember what I made, how the exact measurements of what I made last time, the one I will make this time, it will still be good. That's how gifted I am. While they are hiking, I'm cooking. So you understand? So there are benefits they will get, I won't get. But there are also benefits I get with my good cooking that they will not get unless they speak well to somebody. You understand? So that's why I'm saying that this presence of the Lord comes with benefits. So as we seek his presence, we get to know him more and more. There's no way you can know somebody that you don't spend quality time with, even in the natural realm. Yeah? If you want to get to know somebody, you have to put time and effort to get to communicate or commune with them so that you can know who they are and vice versa, they can know who you are. So God wants to be known. God wants to be known, really. God is not hiding himself from us. James 4:8 says, come close to God and he will come close to you. Does that sound like somebody who wants to keep us at arm's length? No, God wants us to get close to him because he understands the closer we get to him, the more of his benefits we will get to enjoy and will be able to attract easily. The Holy Spirit guides us into a deeper revelation of who our Heavenly Father is. That is his work. It's to guide us into to know who God is. So the more we seek him, the more we find him. I think there's a song we used to sing like that. The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I know. Huh? The more I know you, the more I love you, isn't it? Because whoever you seek, you get to know. And as you get to know their attributes, you get to love them. Or you, in the earthly realm, you get to know some attributes and you start backing off. And you start saying, nah, this is not where I want to go, isn't it? But with a Heavenly Father, the more we come close to him, the more we start to understand his character, his nature, his attributes, his plans, his purpose for us individually and collectively, even as a body, and we are helped by the Holy Spirit. So the question is, why must we seek God's presence? What's the benefit of seeking God's presence? And I will name just a few because literally it's a lot. It's everything. Without his presence, we are doomed. So the presence of the Lord has a transformational influence on our lives. That's why we seek it. It has a transformational influence on our lives. It is the presence of the Lord that helps us make the most important decision to live for God. If you don't know the presence, or if you're not somehow exposed to the presence of the Lord, you won't even know that he is a savior. So it is his presence that attracts us and wools our hearts to call him savior, but not only to call him savior, but to go beyond and to make him our Lord. See, it's one thing to say I'm born again. It's one thing to say he is the Lord of my life. The Lord of my life is a serious commitment to this relationship. So the more we draw in his presence, the easier is we find it to surrender to his will. Have you ever known, or have you been there like me, that you want your will too much, and even though somebody is trying to tell you you're going on the wrong path, you want your will too much. What does that tell us? That you are negating dwelling in his presence, because the Bible says he's not the author of confusion. So his pattern is always straight. And so the more we dwell in his presence, the easier it becomes for us to surrender to his will. It is the presence of the Lord that heals and restores us, spirit, soul, and body. This world is full of the effect of the curse. Sin is ravaging people. You just need to go to hospitals or to listen to people or to watch and see. But when, as we engage in dwelling in his presence, it becomes easy for your lives to start being transformed, spirit, soul, and body. Because your spirit needs to grow. Your soul needs to be transformed, as Romans 12 talks about, by not being conformed to the pattern of this world. There is no way you cannot be conformed to the pattern of the world if you're living outside of the will of God. Nobody has the willpower to live for God outside of the presence of God. So his presence is that paramount. It is the presence of the Lord that brings purpose and promise for our lives today and for the future that we are all hoping for. I don't know, I've never seen anybody who say that, I don't care what happens in my future. I don't know. If anybody ever said that, please check their mind, because it cannot be right. I mean, you are living, but you don't care about the future. The future is coming, whether you know it or not. So his presence brings purpose and promise for us now and for the future. Without his indwelling presence, I can confidently say that people exist in futility. People are living outside of the presence of the Lord, but the Bible says they are living in futility because they are in darkness. Darkness plus darkness equals darkness. So if somebody does not dwell in the presence of the Lord, they are in darkness. That's why when Jesus was talking to us and telling us, this is the Great Commission. Why was it great? Because he knows the only way people will come out of darkness is if somebody talks to them about the presence of the Lord and invites them into salvation, isn't it? So they are living, but they are in futility. John 1:4. In the NLT says, the Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. That's complete by itself. The Word is the Word that gives life to everything. Outside of the Word, anything existing does not have life. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. So light is available, but not everybody has acknowledged that light. So there are people who are living, but they are in darkness. Acts 17:28, part A, in the Passion Translation, says, Acts 17:28, it is through him that we live and function and have our identity. In the New King James, I think it says, in him we live and move and have our being. So how do we live? How do we function? Where do we find our identity? Only in him. So that's how critical his presence is. Because in his presence, I know who I am. In his presence, I know what I am for. In his presence, I can have what I need. Because in him, I live and move and have my being. My being is encompassed in his presence. Because that is the source of my livelihood. It's the Word of God. Outside of the Word, people are dysfunctional. For real. No matter how famous they are, no matter how stinking wealthy they are, no matter how successful they appear, they appear like they got it all together. But I guarantee you, they are dysfunctional because darkness cannot create life. And to them, they think, I have all this money, but not knowing all this money is soon going to disappear, or you're going to leave it, and then after that, isn't it? The outside look does not necessarily represent the real person. Mm-hmm. Just because people look lovely, it doesn't interpret lovely. Uh-huh. The outside look does not necessarily represent the real person. People. Why do I say that? Because people have perfected fakeness. Seriously, even in church, people have perfected fakeness, but they are not here, okay? When I say the church, I'm not talking about Victory Faith. I'm talking in general. You understand? So please don't go to your pastor and say, who is that woman you sent us? She's accusing us. No. I say people have perfected fakeness, honestly, from their looks. You know, there were times we knew how people looked. Now everybody have the same shape somehow. They are fake. Because everything is available for hire or for purchase. Isn't it? Mm-hmm. People have perfected fakeness. Their looks, you know. Sorry, let me not say this. Please forgive me. But it is true. They fake their lifestyles. Uh-huh. They do. They fake their license. When they come out in the public, you look at them and you're thinking, you're all this. But the real you, I know you're not all this. It's because they're in darkness. In darkness, everybody wants to prove they are something. While in light, you already know your DNA. You're comfortable in your DNA. You are happy with who you are. You don't have to fake it to be accepted, isn't it? We know they even fake their certificates, their degrees. Now you don't know who went to college and who studied when they went to college. Some were present in the book, but they were never in class. But they still qualified, driving license. They fake their profession. You hear about quack doctors, and you're thinking, can somebody do that? Yes, they do it. And they're raking millions of money. So the fact that people look like they have it, I'm saying this to qualify that. Outside of the presence of the Lord, there's dysfunction at the highest level. And so the people that have received the revelation of who God is, that we must be very careful to stay within the parameters of his presence, because that's where you are able to live the life of freedom. Their lives are vanity, according to Solomon. You read the book of Ecclesiastes. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 12:13. I will read it in the Amplified Classic, Ecclesiastes 12:13. This is what it says in the Amplified Classic. All has been heard. The end of the matter is, fear God, revere and worship him, knowing that he is, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. Can you see that phrase? The whole of man, the totality of every human being created by God, was for the purpose of worship. It was for the purpose of revering God. The whole of man, anything that is not within the parameters of the presence of the Lord is not whole. It looks like a man, it looks like a woman, it looks like a family, but it's not whole. Because the scripture here tells us, for this is the whole of man, is to revere God. Go on, it says, the full original purpose of his creation. When God created humanity, he had a purpose. Because God does not do, kumekucha, tutadu. That's not God. The only people in darkness will wake up not knowing where they are going or what they are supposed to be doing. But God, the Bible says, this was his full and original purpose. His original purpose was that man may fear him. The full original purpose of his creation, the object of God's providence. So what is man? Man is the object of God's providence. It is not the object of labor. Man was not created to labor. Labor came as a result of the curse. Before the fall of man, through the serpent, man was just enjoying Eden. And I think that is the biggest question and the answer that Adam will answer forever. Because people will be asked, how could you have done us this? We toiled on account of your failing. But we can't blame him, because even after we know, we still find ourselves sometimes going the wrong direction. But this is it, that the object, we are the object of God's providence. if we stay within the parameters of his presence. And then it says, the root of character. Nobody can develop a character outside of God. Nobody. We try. I'm a mother of two very grown-up men. One is 40, the other one is 36. Don't say I'm old. I'm just saying. So, and I have raised children, and I have raised others, lovely children here, and I know the character, the formation of character is only the word of God. You can sing songs, you can talk about it, you can care now all you want. If that person does not understand the presence of God through the word of God and a life of worship, they will still have character flaws and major character flaws. That's why sometimes you find, you look at, find a CEO and you see the things they have done and you're thinking, good gracious, you're this intelligence? You have been blessed this much? You're the head of an empire and you're in a dark corner? You understand? Because the root of character is the presence of God. It is not man's effort. Then the next phrase is, it is the foundation of all happiness. Anybody wants a happy life? Anybody wants a happy life? Develop the presence of the Lord. Because it is the foundation. Money does not give you happiness. Success does not give nobody happiness. I mean, if it would, we wouldn't be seeing these tycoons with yachts committing suicide. I mean, they commit suicide every other day because they have it all, but there is vanity within them. Because outside of the presence of the Lord, there is, you don't have the foundation of happiness. The adjustment of all in harmonious circumstances and conditions. So that talks about dealing with all the issues of this world that we are living in. There is so much in harmony in the world that we are living in, but the Bible is talking about in the presence of the Lord, all these inharmonious circumstances can be adjusted. Why? Because you're in the plan of God and you're in the center of your Maker. So he knows how to harmonize your life, whether it's your finances, whether it's your family, whether it's your career, whether it's whatever it is. God, in his presence, you are able to reach and understand and get the revelation of how do I harmonize my life. So then I would say, a good life is only found in his presence. Any other life, it can look good, but it's not good. It can look glamorous, but it's falling. It can look like it is together, but it's not together. This is what Psalm 16:11 says. In the Passion Translation, Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, because of you, in the Passion Translation, because of you, I know the path of life. As I taste the fullness of joy in your presence, how do I know my path of life? In his presence. How do I experience the joy, the taste of joy? In his presence. At your right side, I experience divine pleasures forevermore. This is the beauty of dwelling in the presence of the Lord. It's an unlimited life. It is an unending joy. It is a complete pleasure. Nothing missing, nothing broken. It doesn't matter your status, it doesn't matter your education, it doesn't matter your wealth portfolio, it doesn't matter who you know, it doesn't matter your background. It is because of you, I know the path of life. That means outside of his presence, I could walk in the wrong path. There is a possibility, high possibility, that I am pursuing a path that may look like it's succeeding, but it's not the right path because I am outside of the effect of his presence. I know the path of life as I taste the fullness of joy in your presence. So what is the beginning point? It's his presence. The beginning point is his presence. The sustenance is his presence. The maintenance of my path is his presence. The fullness of the pleasures of life is his presence. Because he understands my entire makeup. Remember, we started by saying in Genesis 1:26 that he said, let's create man in our image and in our likeness. So because I've been created like him and in him, then all that my life is requiring is only found in his presence. So tonight, I'd like us to pray a revelation of God's presence. A revelation of what does it entail to dwell in the presence of the Lord. It calls for time. I say that you cannot develop a relationship with somebody if you're not creating time. Touch and go, or you know, and you can talk to many people through WhatsApp, but you know, it can never be a quality communication. You're saying things, but really the solidity of that relationship cannot be real, because you can tell me what you want to tell me. But you know what Pastor says, that when he meets with people, he looks them in the eye. Because it's that time that is spent together, it talks about how I value this individual. And that's the same with our God. How much do we value our God? How much do we worship our God? Do we just worship him, touch and go? Developing the presence of the Lord to a level that we start comprehending and getting revelation of the life that he has desired for us. Because I said, God does not just wake up in the morning and say, let that thing grow. No. The Bible says he knows the end before the beginning. That means at the point he was creating and allowing his son to come and save us, he already had this fullness of our lives already in his pattern. Psalms 139 says that God, all the days of my life were written in his book before any one of them became a reality. That means my holistic life, my now, my future, my ended, the fulfillment of my purpose is already in place. But then I have to discover it by a commitment of a relationship with this person who has it all, so that as I engage with him, then I start getting nuggets and directions and instructions of how I ought to live and what I ought to do and what I ought to not be doing, isn't it? Because in his presence, there's fullness of joy. We can't be in his presence and keep making mistakes with our lives. You know, you're bouncing this year, you have bounced up to there, and then only to realize, oh God, I'm in the wrong path. Then you say, oh God, have mercy. Then we are now coming to 2025, then you take another path. Then by the time we are hitting August, you realize, oh no, where am I? I'm in a jungle somewhere. That's not our God. So we want to believe God that his presence is with us. And this Sunday, I'd like us to pray for the service on Sunday. It's a critical service that we are having this Sunday. Of course, the Sunday morning service, but especially the Sunday, the evening worship. I hope you have been obedient to invite as many people as you can. We are celebrating the We are celebrating, of course, Christmas, the birth of Jesus, but we are celebrating the deliverance that he brought. The scripture in 1 John that spoke about that, for this cause was the Son of God manifested, that he may destroy the works of darkness. What we are offering on Sunday evening is an opportunity for people to come out of prison of their lives, from drug addiction, from all manner of evil, for people who might even think they are there, but only God knows where they are. We are believing God for a time of his presence that will jack people and reignite their desire for the presence of the Lord, so that it's not just a one-off, once a year, worshipful night. It's a life of worship God is looking for. So we want to believe God that his presence will indwell our services on Sunday, but we are believing God for salvation of souls. We are believing God for lives to be transformed. We are believing for ourselves to receive a deeper revelation. James told us that come close to me and I will come close to you. That means there is no ending to our knowing of God. We cannot, nobody here can stand and say, I've known God in entirety. I've read the Bible cover to cover all the years of my salvation. This is not the whole God. This is part of God, because it says he is the beginning and the end. So what is written here cannot cover the beginning of him and the end of him, because he has no beginning and no end. So there is too much that we don't experience because we don't spend quality time in his presence. So that's what we want to do tonight. Daniel, we want to worship tonight. We want to worship tonight. We want to pray in tongues tonight. We want to surrender our lives to make him Lord, so that we can get to a place where we get to host his presence, whether we are in church, whether we are at home, whether we are driving. As I was driving this evening coming this way, somebody just did something funny. And I know, I'm testifying of my mistake, but yes. And I opened my window. Pastor, I know you said don't do that, but I did. Tonight the blood is working for me. Open my window and say, what's your problem? And then after that, of course, I was convicted. I say, oh, Lord Jesus, I'm going to preach. Please forgive me. My makeup is letting me down. So I'm saying this to say that each one of us has an opportunity to want more of God, because we don't have it all together, isn't it? So as we worship our Father tonight, I'm desiring that dedicating ourselves to the presence of the Lord, so that we can host his presence more, and we can move faster, and we can go farther, and we can bring more people to the presence of the Lord, because this sanctuary should be filled with people that are seeking God. But if we host his presence fully, then you know it will attract. So as we are ending this year and celebrating what we are celebrating this month of Christmas, my desire is that we are celebrating the presence of the Lord. And we are hosting the presence of the Lord before we host our families and before we host our friends. Because the presence of the Lord will make life so easy, and relationships so easy. And we will be able to cross the year with, you know, on a high key, because we have allowed the presence of the Lord to indwell us.